Acts chapter 13, we're going to begin with verse 1. How you doing, Daryl? Good to see you, my brother. Got everybody praying for you. Pray some more. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God.
Yes, Lord.
And thank you for the privilege that we have to open your word today. Mm-hmm. Father, I ask you to move me out of the way that you may have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Pray for those of us, Lord, who need conviction. Mm-hmm. And for those of us who need comfort. May you have your freedom to do to both as you please. My desire, Lord, you know, is that you teach me that others may be taught. And that may we never be the same because we will open your word today. In your most precious and victorious name, we all say.
Praise God.
If you heard an amen, you know they're visiting. You know they are visiting, so make them feel at home. Acts chapter 13, Antioch, who are we? You got to know your ABCs. If you understand what the church is and where we stand. And this gives us a great opportunity between the book of Esther, which we just finished, and starting with the books of Peter. Time that people wanted us to take a little break. Several almost demanded it. That we spend some time just talking about who are we, to remind us why we do what we do, why we say what we say, why we go where we go, and why we're being what we're supposed to be. To get us back on the understanding and the track that there is a reason and a purpose. Now, I want you to understand something. When I talk today, I'm not just talking about the church. I'm talking about me. Talk about why I do what I do. Why I say what I say. Why I go where I go. Why I do what I do. Because if I'm going to be a part of the New Testament church, that is a call on all of us. The bride of Christ, that's not one person that's the bride of Christ. It's the church that's the bride of Christ. Thus, when I see something, I have a very, very, very bad weakness in my life. Tremendous weakness in my life. And you know what they say, confession is good for the soul and bad for the reputation. But my greatest weakness is, if it's in the Bible, I believe it. If it's there, I'm supposed to do it.
Amen.
And if God says it, I am supposed to obey. That's the bride of Christ. And we're studying this because I believe that the New Testament church is the Acts 13 church.
Amen.
Acts 13, 14, 15 on through to chapter 28. And there are many out there today that wants the Acts 29 church. And folks get excited about it until they realize Acts only has 28 chapters. See, it's a new thing. It's a new way of moving. It's a new thought of what church should be, how a church ought to act. And oftentimes there's a confusion going on there that makes the church act too much like those they're trying to reach instead of showing them a different lifestyle. I have a very difficult time believing that Jesus Christ died for me just to continue to live the way I want to live after accepting him. I have a very difficult time with that. I have a very difficult time with pastors thinking it's okay to curse in the pulpit because it's just that's what everyone does. And that's going to let the people know I'm real. That is some of the Acts 29 thought. I still believe it's very difficult for me to have Jesus Christ down on the cross and think I ought to invite a bunch of guys to go have cigars and beer night to discuss Jesus. I can do that as a pagan and not discuss Jesus. I just believe that the Acts 29 model is stepping away from the Acts 13 model. And I believe that we need to be refreshed upon what that means. And the only way to be able to interpret that is to understand the ABCs of what God calls the Antioch church. And we have tried to clear it up very simply that when we say Antioch is the church, not a church, Antioch is the church. We're not talking about Antioch of Kirkland. We're talking about Antioch in Acts 13. That was the model. And from that church, Paul and Barnabas were sent. And later on, Paul himself and Mark moved in such a way to plant all of those churches with the model out of Antioch, not at the model out of Jerusalem, which was the homogeneous, where everyone had to be the same and look the same and act the same, even if they didn't even have the same skin color. You had to be chained over and become Jewish, the homogeneous church. You had to come over and act the way they wanted you to act. And Paul says, no, Acts 13 is the way to do it, and through the rest of the book of Acts. And I want you to hear something. I hope you can understand what I'm about to say. On Paul's third missionary journey, he realized that something was going to happen to him because he had got warnings. Don't go to Jerusalem. And he says, I feel that I need to go to Jerusalem. The Spirit has led me to go to Jerusalem. And most correct translation of Spirit was not capital S. It was small s. Because God wanted him to go straight to Rome on that third missionary journey. And he went back to Jerusalem and it cost him his freedom. And on the way back, he stopped at Ephesus on that last aspect of the third missionary journey. He turned over all the leadership in Ephesus to carry on the New Testament model that he, for those many years, had been planting all over the known world at that time. The leaders and the elders at Ephesus were supposed to take the Acts 13 model and carry that on as the way to do things. And the minute Paul left was the minute they changed. They did not take the model that the church is for all people. They went back to the homogeneous aspect of life. And guess what? In the book of Revelation that we read, there are seven churches that God talks about in the book of Revelation. Seven. Two of them he's pleased with. But anyone have any idea the first church he was upset about? It was the church at Ephesus. He said, you have left your first love. Not that they didn't believe in Christ. I don't believe that's what he meant. What I believe he meant was the very fact that he had dropped off, Paul, the model of what the New Testament church was supposed to be, and they failed miserably in it. And to this very day, when people look at Antioch of Kirkland, they think, man, that's a new thing. There's nothing new about what we're doing. As a matter of fact, it is a very old thing. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's a very old thing. That's the original church that started is how we're trying to do it. Let's look at our ABCs. Very easy. We call them ABCs, but it is ABCs of multicultural church. It is ABCs of what we need to understand and how we need to do it. And the first A we've already talked about, if you missed that sermon, please grab it. We're going to run through it real quick today. The first A means attitude. What is your attitude to humility about thinking of others being more important than yourself? And we went through Philippians 2 on that. Why do we do what we do? We are consciously to adopt the attitude of humility. Humility of mind, regard one another is more important than themselves. How many of you are like me? How many of you are like me? You know what I'm talking about. I want everything about me. I love me. What the world needs now is more me, me, me. I'm the only thing that there's just not enough of. Can I have an amen from somebody? I want it centered around me in the church. I want it centered around me at home. I even want the traffic lights to be centered around me. They don't even have a soul, but change anyway. Can I have an amen? Driving down the road. Why does the light always change when I get here? Selfish. light. I want the family to jump up when I come home. Bow down. Sir Hutch, the right reverend of the high and low of the holy persuasion church. Pastor. That's what I want the family to do. So you can imagine what I want y'all to do. But I don't know. Does that make a great home? Does that make a great life? Does that make a great church? You know, I really get upset when I come home and everyone is, oh, Dad's home. Let's take care of Dad. Oh, that makes me mad. That gets me upset, Ron. You know what I'm talking about, bro? Just, honey. Oh, I just get so mad. I just get furious. And then they say, oh, we cook for hours, honey. For hours. I said, I don't like that. Oh, just get it out of here. Dad don't want that. What do you want? Oh, that makes me mad. Gets me upset. I don't know how to handle all that centeredness and attention. Can I get an amen, David? I'm talking about I just don't know what it means. But can you imagine? I have never seen anyone get upset when everyone else make them the center. If everyone in my home thought I was it, I was what should be the most important thing there, can you imagine what the house would be like? It'll be really confusing because you know what? Everyone is always thinking of everyone else as being more important than themselves. And guess who never is brought up in the conversation? Me. I don't bring me up because I'm so concerned about you. That's what it means to have the right attitude. And I told you to take the alphabet, remember? 26 letters. Spell out attitude and then take the number that corresponds with the letter and add it up. It equals 100% your attitude. Woo! This means that the preference of others from other cultures are more important than yourself. This applies specifically to worship and ministry. Can't walk into church thinking about who and what I like. What did I get out of the service today? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Christ. It's about being what he wants us to be. We got to have the right attitude and be molded. This eliminates any debate and all debate about worship styles. Oh, it's too loud. Oh, it's too low. Oh, it's going too fast. Oh, the service lasts too long. Amen, if you're talking about graduation. Wow. Amazing. If you're thinking of others being more important than yourself and you walk in and you don't like the music that you're hearing, that's when you can really rejoice. What are you talking about, Willis? Tell you exactly what I'm talking about. If the other people in the church are more important than you and you're not hearing what you like, guess someone else is hearing what they like. And you can rejoice in them because they're more important than you. Praise be to Jesus. And you walk out saying, yes! Because I know it's surprising because next week when you hear what you like, they're going to have to claim Philippians 2 for you. Because not everyone likes the same type of worship, music, styles. And the attitude about that is, I'm going to think of others being more important than me. Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Might as well. You can read it for yourself if you want to in a minute. Question. Whose worship style are you giving preferences to? Thank you. Finally caught up with me. I want you guys to know I'm seeing the back window so I can tell when to change. Some of you are thinking he's bewitched. He's using voodoo on us. You can see what's up there behind his back. No, I'm going to tell my trade secrets. I can see it in the back. Is that a pretty good question to ask yourself? Whose worship style do I give preference to bring more people in that's not like me? That leads us to the B. B, building intentional relationships. Well, you say, I do that. I have no problem with that. Okay, great. Because we are to intentionally build relationships with people who are different from ourselves. Do you do that? Do you do that in church? Now, I'm not talking about that this is something the church should be. It's not going to be if we don't do it individually ourselves. To build those relationships and bring people in. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Everyone got 1 Corinthians?
Yes, sir.
Chapter 9. Look at this. Verse 19. And I want to explain some verses today that I just get sick and tired of hearing from people. Mistranslating them. And this is one of them. For though I am free from all men. Woo! Let's get that one straight. Pastor Hutch is free from who? All men. Does that mean just men? Or that means the men that God created men, male and female, he created men. I'm free, 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 free. Free. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But you never say I'm free as a bird. Because that's a bad life. There's little boys out there with air guns. Can I have an amen? I'm free. Oh, gloriously free from all of y'all. I don't have to care what you think. I don't have to care what you say. I am free from I don't care if you like it or don't like it. I'm free. Because the only one I got to please is Jesus Christ. But if I live that one part of the verse, I've just forgot the right attitude, haven't I? And that verse keeps on going. Pow, man, I hate when verses keep on going. Don't you hate when verses keep on going? Can I just stop here, Lord? Well, if I wanted you to write it, you could stop there. But you didn't write it. Woo! Yet have I made myself servants unto all. That's a freedom right there. That I may gain the more. Hey, you mean to tell me I don't have to be concerned about you, but I have chosen to be concerned about you? I have submitted myself to be concerned about those who don't look like me, don't act like me, don't dress like me. That's the church. That's you. That's me. That's the New Testament church. Antioch out of Acts 13. We can't get away from it. Oh, man, I wish we could stop at those verses. And more unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I may gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law. Not being myself under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. I love this. We take it further than just the Jewish law. We can take it, how about natural law? How about governmental law? How about God's law? You see, I can do all kinds of things with any kind of person and have fun and make them laugh and enjoy, come up with subjects that they like, not subjects I like, find out their interests, not my interests, and never walk from out from under the law of God. Never do anything that contradicts the word. I become all things to all people, but to a limit, so that I can continue to please God. You been there? Know what I'm talking about? There's so many blank faces out there. Should we just close in prayer and ask God to give it to you? Are you building intentional relationships? Are you breaking things down? Are you finding out about them? Do you understand and be encouraged about what they like? Find out some food. Hey, what do you like to eat? We should come over to the house. We call visit. Hey, well, you know, I may not be able to cook it, but you cook it and bring it, man, and we'll sample it, and we'll tell you a Christian truth. Don't bring this back. Always say, wow, man, that was good. Check us out. That's what the verse is talking about. Look at this. To them that are without law, as without law. Verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I may gain the weak, even though I'm not weak. I can understand your weakness. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means have some and save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partakers of that with you. Wow. That's the New Testament church. Can I get an amen? That's me. In the New Testament church. That's you in the New Testament church. How can you go to an all-white church and be comfortable? How can you go to an all-black church and be comfortable? If you know what God intends for the church to be. How can you go to an entire Chinese church and be comfortable? Most of us can't understand the language. That's why you got to have English as a second language programs. Help those help to understand. There's no such thing as we're meeting here and a whole different group and meeting at the same time in another room because they have a different culture and a different language. That's not the New Testament church. Oh, that's Alabama. You don't have to go to Alabama, bro. You can go right down the road. We got to intentionally build relationships with people that are different from us. That's tough to do. Good Christian relationship between people of different cultures don't just happen. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
They don't just happen. They happen only if people deliberately step out of their comfort zone and reach across the differences. How many of you think that this church, being as cross-cultural as we fight it to be, was an easy job? It's not even an easy job now. Because I'm telling you right off the bat, folks, I believe it so strongly that if we ever become all anything, this doors will be shut. We're playing games. Why? Because I like it that way? Heck no. Left up to me, I want everyone to act like me and look like me. Everyone like the same music I like. Let me give you a little secret, guys. Bamskis, I got a lot of influence in this church, I think. Amen?
Amen?
And if I don't hear what I like every Sunday, you can forget you. Could have an amen, somebody. Amen. Well, I don't like that. Builds relationships so you can understand why that music style is good to them. Why they like that kind of worship. And you know what's so bad about a church that's all the same? You miss out on what God has created through everybody else. Amen. You don't see the whole world. You don't see the point God has made us when we all act alike and look alike. You miss out on so much. Oh. But you know how many people are happy? They're happy. You got to build an intense relationship. They happen only if people deliberately step out of their comfort zone. They are built when people take the initiative to get together with others that are not like them. They prosper when the right attitude is presented. You got to have the right attitude to build intentional relationships. Because if you don't, people are going to see right through it. You got to think of others being more important, man. You cannot do it just because it's a fad. It's the call of God for you and I to get out of our relationships and do what he's asked us to do. Why? That we may win some. Got a question for you. Thank you. Got a question for you. What is the ethnic cultural background of your close friends? If you had to call in all your friends and sit down, if you had to look at your dinner table when you have friends over, when family get together, what does it look like? You don't have a choice not to do it. That's the New Testament model call, the Antioch Church, Acts 13. You go, well, Pastor, I just don't understand you. I can get with you. Why do you do all the things you do? Why you get put yourself? Why would you even go and have some of these interviews with different people? Do you think I like doing that? I enjoy being obedient. You know how many people tell me, Pastor, don't take that interview. They just want to make you look stupid. Don't do that, Pastor. They just want to show you that you're a homophobe. that you're a hater. Well, I do it for one reason, guys. I had an example in my life. Guess who it was? Turn to John chapter 6. Excuse me, John chapter 8 or 9. Which one is it? John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're going to begin with verse 1. Are you with me? Can you hear what the pastor is cooking? Mm-hmm. People ask me on Facebook, what does that mean? I'm cooking. And that's the corner of what I'm cooking. I could be cooking a steak, holy cow steak. I could be cooking scripture. But I'm always cooking God. And I just want to know, can you smell it? It's a sweet aroma. Oh. More precious than gold, higher than silver. Can I get an amen? Can you hear what the pastor's cooking? And I just want to go when I walk by you. I want to smell Jesus when you and I spend some time. I want the aroma of God left in the room. And here's my example. Verse 1, John 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him. And he sat down and he taught. Now, that I love this. See, he's with people that want to be with him. Talk to me. Amen. They all came to him. They want to sit down. They want to learn. Teach us. Oh, teach us, teach us, teach us. Yeah. Woo. What a church service. And right in the middle of all that good stuff going on, look who steps up. And the scribes and the Pharisees came. Anybody want to throw some new names out for Pharisees and scribes that can come to your pastor and want to do interviews? Oh, my goodness. I don't know if you guys remember, a couple of 3 years ago, there was a homosexual couple that was living together, two women that had the big floods. And she was down in the basement. And the door got locked. She couldn't get out. She drowned. They wanted to do a documentary on her life with her and her partner. And they called me and said, would you be a part of the documentary? Scribes and Pharisees. They want to trick you. They want to capture you. They want to make you look stupid. Oh, I got all kinds of counseling. But I read the book. I'm supposed to be like Jesus. If Jesus would have taken the counsel of most Christians today, he never would have met with the scribes and Pharisees. Because he knew what they was trying to do. Not only were they trying to make him look bad, they was trying to kill him. And I think I've had more threats than Van Camp's got pork and beans. I think it's up to $1 million right now, the reward. $1 million. They don't want to kill me. That makes me a martyr. They got $1 million out for dirt that can get me out of the ministry. But if some of you want to work with me, I can tell you a couple of things we can split. Of course, it's going to be 70-30 going my way. Oh, did I just say that? Oh, I'm sorry. They came and they did the documentary. Spoke, we spent, I don't know what. Rachel, were you there then? We spent 4 hours together videotaping for one section of the documentary. And by the time we got through, I had the cameraman laughing, had the support people laughing, had the woman who came there to do the documentary laughing. We were sitting on my table, my marble table together, talking about cooking. And it broke right in half. Seriously, just split right in half. And she looked at me and says, you know what? That's us. I said, yep. She said, I went to a church before to try to get my life straight. She told me what the church was. I said, no wonder you're still gay. No one gave you the word. They want to just love you and accept you. come to Antioch. We'll love you and accept you until you refuse to repent of your sins. And then we do what the Bible asks us to do. Jesus. Check this out. Because this is verses. I don't know if you've ever been handed this one by the non-believing world, but it's coming. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say, Jesus? You should hear some of the interviews, some of the questions. What do you say, Pastor? Well, they don't use pastor. It's either reverend or sir. What do you have to say, Master? This they said, testing him, that they might have an excuse to get at him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Jesus says, you want to know what I think? Let me write you an essay. Let me put an article out for you.
Can I get an amen somebody? Because y'all don't know where I'm going, but it's good.
Hold on. Bam! Watch this. So when he was just writing and went look up, they pressed him some more. What do you think? So he lifted himself up and said unto them, he that is out sin, won't you go ahead and cast the first stone? And again, he stooped down and finished his article. Now, there's been all kinds of debate about what Jesus wrote. Well, he may have been just scribbling. But I'm going to tell you what Pastor Hutch thinks. I studied it, looked at it, read it, preached through the book of John. And it says, as he wrote, the word used basically says he revealed. Now, all of a sudden, as he says, if you hadn't sinned, you know, go ahead, cast the first stone. He wrote down on the ground. Let me tell you what I think. I think the first thing he wrote, because Jewish law, now she was caught in the, it's kind of hard to be caught in the act without the other person. They wasn't hearsay, she was caught in the act. That means what? The man was there. So the law says you bring both. So I could just see Jesus when there was only the one. We caught an act, what are you going to do? Jesus wrote down, where is the man? Can I get an amen from somebody? Where's the man? Oops. Then he probably wrote, oh, you, it's full of lust. Oop, gotta go. You're probably the man. Only thing he got left is that from the oldest to the youngest, they turned as Jesus was writing on the ground, they walked away. I think when Jesus wrote their sin, they realized they couldn't throw the stone. Can I get a oops, there it is?
Oops, there it is.
That's out of the second book of hesitation. Man, I got to rush. I got to get seeing, right? Let me explain to you what it means, because so many people have misused this verse when it says, Jesus says, if you have no sin, cast the first stone, and you're judging me, so you're trying to cast the first stone. So you're telling me that you are sinless. Anybody ever ran into that one? You ever been told, you can't judge me? And besides, God said, if you have no sin, then you can cast the first stone. Are you perfect? That's not what Jesus said. You want me to explain what Jesus said? Let me tell you what that statement means. And don't ever, ever fall for anything else. The statement is this. If you help someone get into sin, you can't throw a stone at that person. All those guys had that woman set up. They helped her get in that sin. And if you go out and sin with somebody, I'm going to come back and talk about how bad they are. You can't throw a stone at them. You helped them get in it. But if you didn't help them, for those inside, you judge. Those that are outside are already judged. Those that are inside are other believers. Those that are outside are non-believers. That's how you handle it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Question. Question, question. Can the pastor ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
What is the ethnic cultural background of your close friends? Who be you hanging out with? C. Which stands for cross-cultural leadership. Acts 13, please. Go back to Acts 13 with the pastor. We're going to go to verse 1. The example was given, and all the churches throughout the land followed this example as Paul and Barnabas started and Paul and Mark finished. Paul and Luke traveling. They did this in Acts. Anytime in the book of Acts you're reading, when it says we, it talks about Paul and Luke. Or he said, and Paul went. And Paul did this, and we did this. The we in book of Acts is Luke. Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, different gifting, as Barnabas, that who is the encourager, Simeon, who was the head pastor and the preacher, Lucius of Cyrene, and man, the rich man, and Saul, the antagonist, who has changed. Jews and Gentiles, blacks and white. And we're just talking about leadership right here. That's what was in the leadership of the church, of the model of the New Testament, cross-cultural leadership. Cross-cultural leadership can only happen successfully when the right attitude is present. If the church leadership is not a good cross-cultural mix, then people will remain segregated into their social cultural groupings. You understand that? That's why we work. Can I throw something at you? I'm going to do it anyway, so go ahead and really agree like you're enthusiastic about it. I know it may sound strange, but I want to really ask. How you doing, Dave?
Good, man.
All right. Not that I'm touching you because I think you're going to be convicted or nothing.
That's all right.
I can say that he's in my discipleship group and he better be a man. Can I ask you a question? Why is it, Dave, you may have an answer. I don't know. Because we're tight. You know, we've been together. Why is it that when a white church goes out to get the best pastor in the world, they'll tell you that. We want to get the best pastor. Amen? Mm-hmm. Why is it that the best pastor always look white? Can you explain that to me? Why is it in a black church? They're going to go out and get the best pastor available. We want to really lead this ministry. We really want people that are going to be strong. And it's an all-black church, and when they come back with a pastor, he looks just like them. Why is that? All Chinese church, or all Filipino church, or all anything church, why is it that when we go out to get pastors, they always end up looking like the one who is going out to look? Is there not something wrong with that? Yet and still, churches all over the world does it, continues to do it, and goes against what God says the cross-cultural New Testament church of Acts 13 is supposed to be. Something's wrong. Thing we do at Antioch, we go for the best person. I don't care what color they are. We go for the best person. It's going to be available. It's going to believe in what we do. It's going to believe the New Testament model. And it's going to walk that. Are they not going to be here long? Care how good they are. And they got to be able to put up with a lot of stuff. Cause of umwa, that's black French. If a leader is going to be effective, he or she must build an intentional relationship with the people being led. Can I have an amen? Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Oh, there it is. What are you doing to provide, affirm, or follow cross-cultural leadership? It's not a choice. It's not a if I want to or not. That's the New Testament model. ABCs may not be as simple as they look. But you and I, we got to adopt A, the right attitude. We have to adopt the right attitude. B, you got to build intentional relationships. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
C, follow and provide cross-cultural leadership for all those around you. Let them see the differences that you make. Will you join us in building the New Testament ABC Church?
Yeah.
This is what it's all about. This is who I am. Because that's what the scriptures say. We're not talking about building the Antioch of Kirkland. We're talking about building the Antioch out of Acts 13. And we just happen to be an example of how it should be done. We're not going to change. Whether you like it or not, it's not about being liked. It's about being obedient and right to God. Stick that in the Bible. Father, thank you. You said it, I believe it, that sells it. Amen.